Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag. Helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life, here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with my daughter, Valerie Shepherd, from California. And we're just very grateful for the privilege, aren't we, Val?
Yes, I'm thankful.
And Valerie's talking about what?
Trusting the Lord for your husband's spirituality. I'll read from 1 Peter 3, verses 4 on. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Well, when we mentioned the word reverence, that we are to have a reverent attitude or reverent behavior, I think maybe we need to define that. Reverence simply means fearing God rather than fearing man or fearing yourself or fearing circumstances or the devil. Reverence means putting your trust and your hope completely in God. So when your husband sees you acting reverently, he doesn't see you acting holier than thou. He sees you acting as he would want his wife to act, and that is with a sweet and trusting spirit instead of a judgmental, critical, noisy spirit.
Exactly.
I know that because we women are talkers in general, we want to defend ourselves. We want to make our opinions known. Most of us are very opinionated. And over the years, I've been learning that to quietly listen to my husband is much more worthwhile to him than when I am making my opinions known and not listening to him. If I don't have a listening spirit towards him, then he's not really going to have a listening spirit towards me.
We women really talk way too
much. We talk
too much, don't you think?
And I feel sorry for so many husbands who have to listen to their wives' opinions about everything, whether it was going to Target and finding three different shirts for themselves or for their children, or whether it was what food to have that night, when most husbands don't really care. As long as you feed them and clothe them, they don't want to hear about all the details that we women are so interested in.
It's high time we get sorted out the fact that men are men,
right,
and women are women.
Right.
And we can't expect men to act like women or to think like women, and we would certainly hope that our husbands would not expect us to act like men and think like men.
Right.
And, you know, the difference between men and women was God's design, and it is infinitely deeper and more mysterious than the merely physical distinction.
Mm-hmm.
I think if we assume that the difference between men and women is primarily a physical triviality, we're far from understanding what marriage is all about. God purposely put together two individuals made in the image of God, but with very different ways of coming at things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So going back to what reverence means, if we are respectful to our husbands because we truly fear God, then our husbands will want to listen to us more. And of course, always we should have this attitude of, Lord, teach me to be quiet and listen before I make my opinion known. And Lord, teach me to love and help and encourage rather than trying to change him. And I think many of us, when we first get married, we have this idea that we will get to change them because we think we can train and teach and change someone's habits, and we can't.
Well, you are preaching at me, Val. You are preaching at me. And I often say to people that you minister to me in the things that you have learned. Actually, you have been married to Walt longer than I've ever been married to any one of my three husbands. But certainly God has many things still to teach me.
And he has many things to teach me, too. Well, I certainly don't want to sound like I've made it here.
May our listeners realize that they are listening to two sinful women who mm-hmm. really want to be sanctified. Mm-hmm. And I think of what dear Dorothy Collins used to say. You remember our old friend who lived down there on Cape Cod, and she was a single woman all her life, died in her 90s. But she used to say frequently, Betty dear, she would say, Betty dear, we're not all prize packages. Look for the essentials and skip the rest.
I remember that too. So our main concern in loving our husbands, in being reverent, and in having this inner beauty that he exhorts us to have should be not, do I have inner beauty? And I know for many years I worried so much of whether I was really growing, whether I was really being changed, whether I was being sanctified, but rather the prayer should be in my heart, help me, Father, to love as you love, to forgive as you forgave me, and to help those around me and as you have helped me. Because inner beauty consists of a heart that is totally committed to pleasing her Father in heaven, a mind that is set on doing God's will rather than her own will, a heart ready to love at any cost to her own happiness. I really believe God wants our hearts spiritually enlarged. We know medically that's a term we don't want to have. We don't want to have enlarged hearts medically, but spiritually, He is always trying to open and widen our understanding of His love and our understanding of how His love should be manifested in our lives towards other kinds of people. And over the years, as I put at the top of my little prayer list for Walt, Lord, increase my love for him. I didn't know how the Lord was going to answer that prayer for me, because I felt like I would always see his weaknesses. I would always see Walt's weaknesses. I would always be disappointed or not have the hope that God would really sanctify my husband as I wanted him to sanctify him. And as I kept on praying, Lord, increase my love for him, I think this has been over 10 years that I've had that little prayer card, I slowly began to see that God was helping me to be more and more thankful and appreciative so that I could honor my husband with a heart that was truly looking to God for answers, a heart that was truly waiting and trusting upon God. And this whole spirit of trusting the Lord for your husband's spirituality comes from believing God's word that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it. And so often we know that verse in our heads, but we don't practice it. And your dear friend Elizabeth Lasker, who I call Aunt Bunny, has so often said to me, we only really believe what we practice, or we only really practice what we really believe. And we know that verse, you know, he who has begun a good work, but we don't practice it if we're trying to completely change our husbands through our lectures. And I know for many years I gave my husband lectures. If he would do this and this and this, then he would be a better father and a better preacher. And he would get so discouraged by those lectures that I gave him.
Admonitions.
And I've always felt like I had the gift of exhortation, but I certainly didn't have the gift of love in those lectures that I was giving my poor husband. He had to sit through and put up with my critical spirit. And as I prayed, Lord, increase my love for him, I began to get less and less critical. And I'm so thankful that's the Lord's grace doing that. It's not me. It's just simply, Lord, it's my prayer that I would really be an encouragement to my husband rather than a discouragement. And that's what I was for so long, trying to make him what I thought he ought to be by setting these standards that I had set for him. Even though the standards themselves were good, I focused on those more than I focused on loving God. Does that make sense?
Yes. Dorothy Sayers said, no man wants to be admonished by a woman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's in line with what God says.
Right.
It is not our prerogative mm-hmm. to be continually correcting our husbands
right.
and discouraging them, as
discouraging
you say, that that's exactly what happened with dear Walt. And I think of Walt as a very gentle man. He's a, mm-hmm. he's a gentleman, mm-hmm. and he is a gentle man. There may be other sides to him that I've never seen, but I've known Walt for a long time. Mm-hmm. And he's soft-spoken.
He is soft-spoken. And he's very sensitive to people's feelings and to in his own feelings. He's sensitive. And, of course, that can be a great advantage when used with God's grace to be able to listen to people and be able to love them and be tender-hearted towards people. And I'm so thankful for that. The unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit is precious in God's sight. In other words, when we really try to trust in God rather than trust and lean on our own understanding, He is pleased with us. He is, as a father is happy to see his child start to walk, He is pleased that we are learning to trust and believe in His word rather than depending upon ourselves to change someone.
That reminds me of what George MacDonald said, I think it was George MacDonald, that the father is pleased when the child takes his first stumbling step, mm-hmm. but he will not be satisfied until the boy can stride like a man. Mm-hmm. God mm-hmm. is easy to please, but hard to satisfy, mm-hmm. because he's still in the process with you and me, with our husbands, with everyone who wants to serve and love him, in conforming us to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you so much, Val, for being with me again today.
Thank you.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.